True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Into the 12 o'clock hour here on WEEI. Dan Ball with you. And for the guys, Jones and Keith, happy Black Friday. Hopefully you're recovering from your Thanksgiving, good, bad, or just simply stuffed. But we thank you for spending some time with us here, and you can join the conversation at 617-779-7937. That's how you call. That's how you text. Thanks to Lou Merlone for joining us in the 11 o'clock hour. Plenty more to come on the Red Sox and the Patriots, a little bit on the Boston Bruins, as well as they drop the puck at 1 o'clock this afternoon. But Jackson, we told your funnier side of your Thanksgiving holiday. So I know there is a second side of why you ended up on your walkout side. What's the other half of that story?
Yeah, why I ended up walking in the woods. So yeah. My brother and I, we're kind of like oil and water.
Okay.
He's the serious one, the one that has a real job and makes a lot of money. And I'm the goofy one that has this job and does this.
Yeah, fair. So, who has more fun during their given day, though?
I mean, we gotta say me, right?
I would hope so.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm here on Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Why not? Fun. No, I do love it.
Big old smiles on our faces doing
I actually
that.
Volunteer
That's right.
For the holidays.
Oh.
Because I don't like holidays. It's just, yeah. So, anyway, so he comes over. We're going to my parents' house.
Okay.
And my parents are a little bit, you know, set in their ways, a little bit older, you know. And so they
are...
Traditional, yeah. They have what they have, and they have a big counter with a bunch of Tupperware and stuff on it that they just kind of, their stuff is where their stuff is. It doesn't really make much sense, but it is what it is.
Okay.
And also an air fryer.
Oh,
so
sweet.
The brother comes in. We're about to start eating. He starts removing everything from the counter, putting it in the corner.
Oh, God.
And saying, you know, we can't eat on this table. This is a mess. This is chaotic, blah, blah, blah. And then, meanwhile, there's a space for him. We made a table for him. We made it. Two different seats for him, and he just takes literally everything off the counter, and I'm sitting there shutting up, eating, not saying anything.
Because you know where this is good. You know where this conversation is headed.
Yeah, but he just keeps doing it, and I can feel the tension with my mom, and you know my dad just sitting there eating, ignoring it, and finally I say something, I flip out.
Okay.
I'm like, what are you doing? You know, come in here, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to control everything, you're ruining Thanksgiving,
so your
everybody's
parents
tense
did,
now.
Your parents didn't say anything. This was just,
no.
This was you taking the initiative.
This was me taking the initiative.
Okay.
Yeah. They don't, they'd rather sit and just, you know, they literally put everything back together as soon as he left. it was like a game of Tetris.
Yeah.
And I knew they were going to do that, and I knew they just didn't want the confrontation, but I can't sit by and watch somebody be a jerk and not say something, so I did.
Okay.
And it just became a, you know, a little bit of a shouting match, and both the parents saying, you guys are in your 40s, shut the hell up and eat dinner.
But, it's a decent answer.
It is a decent answer. I probably should have shut up, but I can't, and I didn't. And it ended up me just kind of, you know, leaving with the dog and going on my merry way in the woods and getting poop all over my car.
I mean, hey, you tried to defend your parents' honor because they didn't want to say anything,
yeah.
which I certainly do respect. And it could have been a blow up on, you know, politics or religion or whatever else happened at other Thanksgiving tables. So arrangement of Tupperware, I feel like, is relatively benign compared to some of that other stuff.
Yeah, it was, you know, I mean, it's dumb family stuff that happens. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure there's been much worse family things that have happened over the last 24 hours for a lot of other people. So I'm still blessed. I'm thankful.
Yeah, absolutely. Right back at you. By the way, 617-779-7937. Any good tales from the Thanksgiving table? Would love to hear those via call and via text. Jackson will give a rating compared to what his Thanksgiving was like, if you have any of those. But,
yeah. Did you get poop all over your car or no?
Right, exactly. Yes. What did you yell about, and what level of human waste did you get on you from Thanksgiving? That's the bar that I guess you have to clear for Jackson on Thanksgiving. But let's get back to the Boston Red Sox, and let's begin with Justin down in D.C. What's up, Justin? How are you?
Hey, Dan. Very good. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and I'm thankful that you're on air because you're clearly a baseball guy.
Oh, that's my number one, yes, and I'm thankful you called in, but what do you got?
So I have two points I want to make. Number one, if we look at the Sonny Gray trade in a vacuum, just let's assume he's a number two or three or whatever.
Okay.
It's a bad addition because he's 36 years old, 5'10", 190 pounds, so he's old and minuscule for a starting pitcher. The last two seasons, he's lost half a mile an hour of velocity on his fastball each season. The last two seasons, he's allowed a new career high in home runs, 21 and 25. And this is the most problematic part. He played in front of the best defense in baseball with the Cardinals last year, and he still had a 4 ERA. But he breaks down in the second half. So last year in the second half, he had a 5.45 ERA. This is a little guy who's losing velocity and gives up a ton of home runs and relies on a great defense. I thought maybe that this was a one-off, but 2024, his ERA was over 4.5, and it was 1.25 run higher. So he has a track record of breaking down. And then this leads me to my second point, which is all I got for you. The Red Sox right now, if they re-sign Bregman and add a mid-level bat, they still have the third-best lineup in the AL East, because Toronto makes contact and scores runners in scoring position, and the Yankees hit home runs. And now with Sonny Gray, they have the third best rotation. So this team is very, very, very much in the precipice of missing the playoffs unless they go bigger than Sonny Gray, Alex Bregman, and a mid-level bat.
Justin, thank you for the call. And the downward trend of Sonny Gray, to address the first point, is something that you can't help but jump. If you just go from a straight ERA perspective, and the home runs is something you have to account for, that really the only metric by which Sonny Gray has improved over the last 3 years, call it, is strikeouts. He's gone from 183 to 203 and then to 201. So he's become a 200 strikeout pitcher, which he had only done once in his career, a career which started in 2013. So he's got more swing and miss, but when you make contact in the air, it's going out of the park. So when he essentially leaves it up in the zone, it's going out of the park. So he's gone from a 3.08 ERA in 2022, that's 24 starts of Minnesota, down to a 2.79, and that was the year where he finished second in the Cy Young, up to a 3.84 in his first year with St. Louis, and then a 4.28 last year. Now, again, he has posted 32 starts, 28 starts, 32 starts. He's been out there every fifth day, but the contact that is made in the air goes out of the park, and you just can't compete against Father Time. And if it was just, if it was just 1 year's worth of regression, if you made this deal 1 year ago today, when he was coming off a 2.79 season, then went up to a 3.84 ERA, you'd go, okay, maybe that's a one-off. He went from Minnesota to St. Louis. I can almost forgive that being an aberration, being a statistical anomaly. But to go from a 2.79 to a 3.84 to a 4.28, which is in his career the third highest and the highest that he had since, oh, would you look at that, the 4.9 that he put up as a member of the Yankees in 2018. Again, this is a number four pitcher on a championship team at best. Sonny Gray on a championship team. So let's say Sonny Gray on the Toronto Blue Jays is barely a starting pitcher. Sonny Gray on the Dodgers, barely a starting pitcher. On the Mariners, barely a starting pitcher. On the New York Yankees, right now, he's probably your five. And depending on what either Luis Gil or Will Warren do, maybe he's a bullpen piece. You should not be banking on, if your rotation is at the level and your team is at the level of competing for a championship, it should not be a foregone conclusion that Sonny Gray is starting a playoff game for you based on that trajectory. However, right now, all we have to go off on is Rob Bradford's report that there are some in the Red Sox front office that view 2025 Joe Ryan and 2025 Sonny Gray as a very similar pitcher. So two things come out of that. Either the Red Sox don't know how to scout pitching and can only hit home runs on the guys that are obvious, like Garrett Crochet, or Joe Ryan wasn't as good as we thought he was, and they should be aiming elsewhere. They should be aiming for Freddie Peralta for Milwaukee. They should be aiming for Michael King on the free agent market. They should be aiming for somebody who actually is a number two. Because if Joe Ryan and Sonny Gray were the same in 2025, neither should be starting game two for you. On the other side, on the lineup, and this is where the report from John Heyman comes in, as well as Lou's comments, because I thought he was more severe in how he looked at the Red Sox current state of their lineup than I think anybody else is that I have heard, where he didn't just say it's adding Pete Alonso or it's adding Alonso and re-signing Bregman. He essentially said you need to turn over at least a third of your lineup, which is maybe more severe than I've heard to this point. So as you're currently constructed, Anthony, Duran, Story, Abreu, Yoshida, Narvaez, Casas if he's healthy, Meyer if he's healthy, and Seidon Rafaela, with the players on your bench being some combination of Wong, Grissom, Romy, Nady, and then Christian Campbell and David Hamilton. That's what you have as your offense right now. That's not good enough. That's not even remotely close to being good enough. That is not only, as Justin said, that's not only third in your division, but I would argue that group of players is closer to fourth than it is to second. You're getting scarily close to the Orioles and the Rays in terms of just bat-to-ball ability, just the ability to consistently get guys on base, let alone hit the ball out of the ballpark. You have next to no power in that group. You have a lot of strikeouts, and you have weak contact and guys that can't hit the ball to the gap and guys that will not drive in runners with scoring position. And that's also implying that you're getting the same performance from Trevor Story. Would anybody be surprised if Trevor Story took a step back or had another injury-plagued season or even just played as 80% of his 2025 self? What if instead of where he ended up in the 20s in terms of home runs, he hits at 17 or something to that effect over 120 games, because age and just the wear and tear factor of playing a full season catches up with this guy? Then what happens? So you have a lesser than Story. You have the ultimate levels of inconsistency in guys like Rafaela and Casas, and you have consistently mediocre in Duran. So what? It's Roman Anthony and then eight guys. So you go, roll the dice, double down on a bad hand because I don't know what I'm getting today. Yeah, that's not going to be good enough. Unless this entire organization is working under the guise that they're average now, that the Red Sox are 81 and 81, and whatever difference there is, good, bad, or otherwise, is based on health. Is that what we've been reduced to? Is that what the mission statement, what the goal is going to be for every single season moving forward? Because then, yeah, sure, roll out that lineup. Roll out Sonny Gray as your number two. That's a lineup that could get you to 81 wins and maybe playing meaningful games around the trade deadline and trying to convince yourself into the fact that they'll take a big swing and go after players that make a difference. That's the top end for that group of players. So you are currently missing a third baseman, because I'm not putting Meyer in my starting lineup to begin the year. You're missing a third baseman. You're missing a first baseman because there's no guarantee that Casas is healthy, let alone good enough to be on your roster to start the year. You have about six guys that could play second base, none of whom you're willing to commit to. Christian Campbell apparently is profiling out as an outfielder. Great. You got a logjam of those. I'm okay with Romy Gonzalez. That's fine. But again, you can play Romy at second if Pete Alonso's at first and Alex Bregman is at third. Because you can play Romy as the 7-8 guy in your lineup, but he can't be getting as meaningful at bats as he did last year. So there is a significant amount of work to be done. And that brings us to the names that were brought up by John Heyman yesterday. By the way, the 1 year anniversary of the tweet that floated around that was alleging that the Red Sox signed Juan Soto. Remember that a year ago? That whole sweepstakes, and then the tweet that said, "Oh, David Ortiz got it over the line at dinner," or something to that effect. What a change it was! It was a much more peaceful way of going about Thanksgiving last year, or this year for Red Sox fans versus last year. So Kyle Schwarber and Pete Alonso. Then you have Kazuma Okamoto, who is the player that Lou talked about. Okamoto, from 2018 to 2024, hit at least 27 home runs in each season with the Yomiuri Giants of Japan's Nippon Professional Baseball. In 2025, he was limited by injuries to just 69 games, okay, but he had his best performance on a rate basis, hit 15 home runs in the time and slashed .327 with a .598 slug and a .210 weighted runs created plus. Okay, so I just gave you a bunch of gobbledygook to tell you that he's a good player, but somebody who has played exactly zero games in North America. And I cannot get hyped up about rolling the dice on another player who hasn't played Major League Baseball games. You did it with Yoshida. It didn't work out. You did it with Ruznay Castillo. It didn't work out. I'm kind of sick and tired of spending money that you could spend on guys who have played Major League Baseball games, who you've probably played against, or at least played in the general vicinity of, or one of your front office executives has been with him, or one of your coaches has coached him. Why spend that money on an unknown quantity again? And a group of players who had great performances, but who do not grade out well against velocity. Guys that don't see a lot of fastballs above 95 miles an hour. And when they do, they don't do great. That's the general way to describe a lot of the class that's coming out of the professional leagues in Japan this year. Guys that don't see a lot of velocity. And when the league is averaging, you know, 97, 98 on a fastball, and that's just in your starting rotation, I don't want to try to roll the dice on guys who just haven't seen that level of competition. So I would much, much rather you overpay for somebody who you have a sample size of in Major League Baseball. You need more known quantities on your roster. You need guys who you know what they bring every single day when they arrive at the ballpark. That's what you need to invest. If you're going to pinch pennies and you're going to be ultra, ultra careful about the money you spend, spend it on guys who you've actually seen play. Please, for the love of God, do that. So I'm out on that. I'm also out on JT Realmuto. I think that money can be spent elsewhere. I think there's absolutely a downturn that's coming there. And I'd rather find somebody who you can who you can pair as a 1A and 1B with Narvaez for the somewhat longer term than bring in a rental who's probably not going to live up to the money that you pay him, even on a short-term deal. So it's Schwarber, it's Alonso, and it's Bregman. And I think it's a failure of an offseason if you don't bring in two of those three. If it's not one of Alonso and Schwarber and Bregman, then I don't think you've improved your team enough to where you can say we're competing for the American League East. The Sonny Gray trade cannot be considered one of the two impact bats and a number two pitcher that you had said that you were committed to adding to your roster this year. If Sonny Gray is the fourth best or fifth best move you make this offseason, you can be a World Series contender. If it's Alonso at first, Bregman at third, maybe Duran is your outfielder and you don't, or Duran is sent out as part of the Joe Ryan deal, just to have the conversation. So it's Bregman, Story, Romy, Alonso, Anthony, Rafaela, Abreu, Narvaez, I guess Yoshida is your DH, or Casas is your DH when he returns. Duran goes out for Joe Ryan, and your rotation is Crochet, Ryan, Bayo, Sonny Gray, and whoever doesn't get traded for Ryan, one of Toley or Early or Harrison. That's your five? All right. Now we can actually have conversations about you being legitimate in your pursuit of a World Series. Otherwise, if you do anything less than that, it's just not good enough. It's not going to be good enough to get the job done as the arms race continues and you get left behind. 617-779-7937. John is in Framingham. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, Dan?
Good. What's up?
Well, listen, I have an idea on something that might help the lineup. I'd like to bring Rafaela in to play shortstop. I'd like to bring Duran to play second and bring up the Passwood to play center field. And I'd also like to go with the guy that's always getting hurt there, to play third base. He was playing third base last year.
Oh, Marcelo Meyer, sure.
And what I would do is I would trade Story, and I might package him with maybe a couple prospects and see if we can get a top-line pitcher. I think Story, you know, somebody out there needs a shortstop that, you know, had a proven track record last year. And, yeah, that's what I kind of think. And I actually think that we lost out on the Devers and the Bregman trade, actually, because Devers played a full year, had over 100 RBIs, over 30 home runs, and he totally outproduced Bregman. And it would have been better, I think, to keep Bregman playing last year, had him play second and Devers play third, and I think it would have been a much more productive lineup. So,
all right, John, thank you for the call. Lot to get to there. The Password has really not been brought up in any plans. That's really the first mention I have heard of his in any kind of plans for 2026. I appreciate the creativity. It'd be pretty wild to see two of your outfielders from last year be your middle infielders next year. But you do have to remember, Jarren Duran did play second base in college, and I think a little bit with Lowell, like before he transitioned to outfield full time. So it's in there. I like the creativity. I don't think that really solves your issues in terms of the thump that you need in your lineup. You take away your second leading home run hitter. Did he finish ahead of Abreu? I can't remember for sure. But you take away your predominant power hitter over a 162 game stretch, and you kind of put in a bunch of unproven younger players there. I appreciate the creativity. I think I'd go in a bit of a more proven direction, but I appreciate the call there. We'll continue the MLB conversation specific to the Red Sox and beyond with ESPN's Paul Hambakidis, who contributes to the Baseball Tonight podcast alongside Buster Olney. You see him on Get Up. You hear him on ESPN Radio. You'll hear him after Jackson Burns gets you caught up on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Thanksgiving football in the books. The Packers defeated the Lions behind Jordan Love's four touchdown passes. 31-24 was the final score in the midday game. The Cowboys found a way to take down the Kansas City Chiefs, 31-28. Chiefs are now 6-6 on the season with five games left. In the primetime game, Joe Burrow came back and threw a lot of stuff to Ja'Marr Chase, and they made their returns and dominated the Ravens, 32-14. The Bruins, they have a matinee matchup today against the Rangers. Puck drop for that one is at 1 o'clock from the Garden. Celtics have the day off, but are back in action tomorrow afternoon against the Timberwolves. The Pats have placed Will Campbell on IR with his MCL sprain, and both Jared Wilson and Morgan Moses were listed as did not participate in practice. So we'll keep an eye on that. The 8-3 Bears take on the 8-3 Eagles today at 3 o'clock, which you can hear right here on 93.7 WEEI with the pregame starting at 2:30. Hurry into the 99 Restaurants this weekend for their double bonus card special this Friday through Sunday. So that's today through Sunday. For every $25 you purchase in gift cards, receive two $5 bonus cards. Offer valid in-restaurant for this weekend only. Visit the Nines for this great holiday special. That's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell fuel rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price, so that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month. Required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday, more like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Dan Ball.
Dan Ball.
On WEEI.
I tell you what, if Jackson's rejoins don't get you fired up, then I don't know what will. But in lieu of that, we continue our Red Sox conversation by going to the phone lines. We welcome on Paul Hembakitis of ESPN and Get Up. Mr. Hembakitis, happy Thanksgiving. How are you, sir?
Same to you. Same to you and yours. I'm doing great. And after that open, I'm ready to run straight through the Green Monster. Let's talk some ball.
Yeah, you and me both. And our guy Jackson behind the glass have been doing that all morning and afternoon to get us fired up. But I got to revisit something that we talked about the last time that you were on. Right towards the end of the season, you gave your impassioned plea for why Garrett Crochet should win the AL Cy Young and not Tarek Skubal. So I'm disappointed because I thought you had enough data behind it to prove that Crochet was the rightful Cy Young winner.
I did have enough data behind it. Unfortunately, 26 out of the 30 voters did not have access to the same data or didn't bother to look up what I looked up. In fact, I went back and revisited the same topic. As you recall, I was passionate about it then.
Right.
I remain passionate about it now. And what I simply did was just demonstrate how much better and how much more Garrett Crochet was asked to perform against the top teams in the league. And this is not to say that Tarek Skubal was not a deserving candidate to win the award, but he was pitching against junior high teams. Let's be candid. I mean, the American League Central was exceedingly down this year. He dominated against those teams. But when you look at the way in which teams evaluate players internally, and they obviously do so on an uneven playing field because context is everything. I'm obsessed with it just as all the front offices are. And I heard from multiple teams that told me their internal modeling suggested that I was right, that Garrett Crochet was the most valuable pitcher in the American League. And so if you look at the surface level data, of course, most fans are going to say Tarek Skubal deserves to win the award. What disappoints me is that the people that are in charge of voting for this stuff did not bother to peel back the onion as many layers as I did.
I mean, I feel like there's certainly still a learning curve that's going on in terms of the deeper data that you're able to find on topics like this. But my follow-up to that, as Red Sox fans get ready for another season with their ace now firmly in tow for years to come, how do you see the trajectory of Garrett Crochet as it compares to the trajectory of Tarek Skubal? Are there awards in Crochet's future if maybe Skubal is at his best right now?
Certainly. Garrett Crochet has the best stuff in the league, or at least the best stuff in the American League. Right now, left-handed pitchers across baseball are enjoying an extraordinary renaissance, and he is at the very top of that list. And yeah, when you consider the context of the contract that the Red Sox just gave him relative to the contract that Tarek Skubal is about to sign, you can, and I would, make a good faith argument that Garrett Crochet is going to have something approximating twice as much surplus value that he provides the Red Sox as Tarek Skubal is going to provide his next club, which is not to say that he's not a demonstrably better pitcher or they're not on equal playing field, but it is to say that this is a zero-sum game. I mean, baseball is not salary capped, at least not yet the way that other sports are, but I take into account how much a player is earning and also how much a player is producing. And I happen to think that Gerard Crochet and Tarek Skubal are going to produce, we'll say, comparable numbers over the next handful of years.
Sure.
But Gerard Crochet is going to do it on a considerably more team-friendly contract.
All right, that certainly works for me. I'll take the contract and the performance, even if the second part is equivalent any day of the week. But how about, as you saw the Red Sox kind of dipped their toe into the offseason for the first time earlier this week, the acquisition of Sonny Gray. What can you tell us that you've noticed about Sonny Gray, his trends, and what Red Sox fans can expect from him in 2026?
Yeah, there are two things on the positive side of the ledger that Red Sox fans can and should expect. The first of which is an absolutely dominating sweeper.
Okay.
You see Gerard Crochet through that filthy sweeper from the left side. Sonny Gray throws a comparably nasty one from the right side, and it's obviously a pitch shape that the Red Sox front office chases. That's a pitch and the way in which both of those guys throw it uniquely, but to somewhat equal effects, you might say. That's obviously something that the Red Sox modeling, and they, like most teams, have access to a lot more information than we do, but internally, it's obviously a priority of theirs. The second thing that Sonny Gray does exceedingly well is he throws what people in the scouting community like to describe as a hoppy fastball, a fastball with a high amount of what they call induced vertical break. In other words, he can spin that four-seam fastball above the barrel. And even though the outputs on those pitches, which is to say the extent to which he's dominated or not opposing hitters in recent years, has not quite suggested that it's a pitch with dominating characteristics, the underlying data do suggest that his combination of that four-seam fastball with the amount of hop that he has on it and the sweeper creates a two-pitch mix that should theoretically dominate. Now, you look at his ERA last year, it was below the league average, and you might ask, which is, by that I mean, worse than the league average, you might say, well, why aren't these things adding up? But as you well know, the smarter and smarter that teams get, and I consider the Red Sox to be one of the smarter, if not smartest teams in Major League Baseball from this perspective, what they're very likely to do is change the way in which he deploys his pitches. So I think you'll see him throw the sweeper more frequently, not just to use it as a pitch that he uses to put away hitters, but to set up hitters as well. So you'll see him modify the way in which he deploys his pitches because the very best ones that he throw have elite characteristics. And if the Red Sox can wrap their arms around that fully, I do expect him to produce like a number two starter. And look, you gave up a lot. Like, this is a trade in which you're going to probably lose the surplus value, debit and credit, the way that some teams think about it.
Sure.
And the Red Sox are one of those teams that definitely adhere to that kind of systemology. But at the same time, you had the opportunity to get your hands on a pitcher that, if you dream on it, can be a number two starter for a full year for $20 million. And it's hard to look at the back of a napkin and say that math is not worth what you gave up.
Paul Hembekidis of ESPN with us here on WEEI. So the question becomes, Crochet, Gray, Bayo, Tolley, Early, Harrison, etc. That is the group of starters that the Red Sox have assembled as we sit here right now on November 28th. Can they go forward with a starting rotation made up of those players and expect to be able to compete with the powers of the American League?
They can, which is to say, I believe that what the Red Sox should now do is pivot to the rest of their roster.
Okay.
Adding Sonny Gray to that collection, and look, I'm one who's high on Tolley and really high on Early. When you project out what a young starting pitcher in the major leagues is going to do in his first full season, you're obviously squinting a little bit because it's very difficult to imagine both of those guys are going to throw 150 innings at a league average or better level because it's just such a difficult, mountain to climb, especially given Early wasn't pitching at anywhere close to this level for most of his baseball life. And
right.
So all you can really do is take into account the 50th percentile outcome or what you might expect. But the good thing that the Red Sox have done is they built a deep stable here. So if and when one of those guys inevitably has to hit the DL, they have six or seven arms that you can feel somewhat good about in the regular season. And then you evaluate where you are in July and you go from there to figure out who's starting game three of a postseason series for you. All this to say, look, the Red Sox need to do two things. They could, from this point forward, look to sign a free agent or two to improve their lineup and or decide they want to just deploy a super bullpen. Because if you decide that you might not have the clout to go add a high-level third starter, and I don't think that they should. I think that would be superfluous.
Okay.
What you can then do is create a dominant seventh, eighth, and ninth inning scenario in which you only have to deploy your starter twice through the order, especially in a playoff context. And if you can add maybe 50 runs a game over the course of a season, two or three runs a week to your lineup, all of a sudden, you're as competitive as any club in the American League.
So given the deficiencies that the Red Sox have in terms of, like you mentioned, generating runs and maybe building that bridge to Garrett Whitlock and Aroldis Chapman, are there names on the free agent market that you look at and go, these are targets that best fit the Red Sox needs?
Yes, but some of those names, as you might expect or as you might imagine, are going to be the same names as most every other team that has the ability to spend money are going to have circled. It's the Pete Alonso. It's the Alex Bregman. It's the Devin Williams. What I'd like to do is run a trade by you that I think Red Sox fans should be all over. And that is a deal in which there's some kind of swap, or at least the foundation of which is Jaron Duran, for Ketel Marte. Let me provide you the elevator pitch and let you react to see if you're picking up what I'm putting down here.
Okay.
So Jaron Duran is a I think actually somewhat underrated player across baseball, but I think we have good reason to believe that the Red Sox don't value him the way that the league on balance does, just given the amount of Jaron Duran trade rumors that are consistently hitting my timeline, and I'm getting texts from people that seem to know things that make me wonder why it is the Red Sox don't view him as a big part of their future.
Right.
Meanwhile, we think that the Diamondbacks have good reason to move on from Ketel Marte right now, considering the interpersonal issues that they had last year in the clubhouse, which from what I understand are non-trivial, and the fact that he has been so incredibly productive recently, and the contract is going to continue to get more expensive. But the Red Sox could, in theory, have an opportunity to acquire the best second baseman in baseball, and it's not especially close, in a package that would include Jaron Duran, and let's call it one other starting pitching prospect. I'll use Kyson Witherspoon as our stand-in for the time being.
Okay.
And that is the framework of a package that could work. So you're not going to really lose too much value from the perspective of your outfield, because, of course, you're going to go Anthony Rafaela and Willier Abreu. And what you're going to do is add the best second baseman in the entire sport. And given what we saw Christian Campbell do, or not do, rather, last year, that is, I at least consider, a position of need for you. So I say Jaron Duran and Kyson Witherspoon for Ketel Marte. What say you?
I'm on board with that. I think it's the only thing that I worry about is the lack of right-handed pop that still exists in the lineup. But I think from shoring up a position that has been a revolving door since Dustin Pedroia got hurt, that checks that box. There's definitely more of a consistent run creator profile for Ketel Marte than you get for Jaron Duran. And I feel like that's a pretty nice 1-2 punch. I would assume you'd go Roman Anthony and Ketel Marte 1-2 to set your lineup up.
I would, and keep in mind, like, Ketel Marte is a switchy, and so you're not really worried about the platoon side of things. I mean, this is a legitimately plus a hitter as a second baseman from both sides of the plate, who is at worst a league average defender at a premium position. And I'm telling you right now, you don't get access to this guy hardly ever, or players like it. And so if the Diamondbacks view Jaron Duran as someone that they can build their outfield around, and keep in mind, if you put him and Corbin Carroll in the same outfield, at the top of your lineup, you're going to lead the league in triples every year. You're going to be awesome defensively. It's a deal that makes some sense for them. And of course, that's a team that is in such desperate need of pitching. And the Red Sox have a surplus of young pitching. You know it as well as I do. And so that's the position which I think the Red Sox are more inclined to operate. Might they go for Pete Alonso or try to bring back Alex Bregman? Yes, and perhaps they'll find both, or at least perhaps they'll pursue both. But they're operating this offseason in a position of strength because they've done such a good job infrastructurally, and because you have such an advantage to build your second base position for being, you know, a zero or close to it, to a 5 or 6 win position, Craig Breslow recognizes the opportunity to improve. And that's, look, I don't want to overstate this, but that's exactly how teams are building right now. If you're going to add a 5 WAR player, say, and play second base for you, when you're going from basically a replacement level, you could just add 5 wins to the standings from the day the season begins. You're starting the year 5-0. And Craig Breslow understands the components of that math, which is to say, I think Marte is as good an option for the Red Sox this offseason to pursue as any free agent available. I really do.
I tell you what, if you solve the right side of your infield to where you crack camp with Ketel Marte and say Pete Alonso is still on your radar, that solves so many different run-creating issues that you talk about. And as normal when we catch up, Paul Hembekita says, convince me of something that makes sense. But before we let you go, Hembo, you've had another addition to your author ledger. Can you tell us a bit about Got Your Legends ahead of the holiday season?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to plug it. Yeah, Mike Greenberg and I have now written 3 sports books. This was the third item of our trilogy. It's called Got Your Legends, as you said. And what we did in this particular book is painstakingly researched and identified the Mount Rushmore of all 124 teams across the four major sports in North America. So I'd imagine a lot of folks within the sound of your voice are going to have a strong opinion about the Patriots and the Bruins and the Celtics and the Red Sox.
Yep.
What we have done for all four of those teams, in addition to 120 others, is identify the four franchise faces across the board. Greeny wrote, like these pretty bite-sized essays on every single team, at least of those four. We identify the Mount Rushmores, and the idea here is that it creates good banter around the Christmas tree, on airwaves, and if you've not gotten the chance to take a peek yet, you best believe I'll send you a copy.
Okay, well, I'm excited for that in advance, but you can grab that, and if you don't already have Got Your Answers and Got Your Number, the same kind of idea where it's paired with the research of Hembo and the essays and insight of Mike Greenberg, make sure you do ahead of the holiday season. Hembo, always a pleasure to get to catch up. Hopefully you had a wonderful Thanksgiving with you and yours, and enjoy the next flurry of moves here in the MLB offseason.
Likewise, my friend. Ketel Marte, you better take that to the bank.
Ketel Marte to the Red Sox. We are banking on that indeed. That's Paul Hemikitis of ESPN joining us here on WEEI. I'm going to be honest. I hadn't looked into all that deep the case for Ketel Marte joining the Boston Red Sox, but I've got about 5 minutes to research my case, so we'll talk about
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start. Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list. Like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That next. I should have known that this wasn't going to be Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or something like that when you said, can I play a Christmas song?
Yeah, not quite traditional, but it's new, and they're Australian, and they're awesome, and that's a band called Airborne, and they just put out a Christmas song, so I figured, why not? It's Black Friday.
Airborne. I actually know a song or two from Airborne, yeah. Believe it or not. They were in a couple of the NHL video games.
Yes, they
back
were. Exactly.
Running Wild, I think, might be
that
one
that is
of them.
The song. Yeah,
okay,
you got
there,
it.
There. How about that? Okay, there you
but
go.
But that song I can never hear again because of that damn menu of NHL. You know, you hear those songs over and over again.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're like, all right, yeah, I'm going into franchise mode. Okay, I'm playing. I'm completely with you on that, but okay. Well, Airborne brings us back here on WEEI. Thank you to Paul Hembikitis for bringing up the idea of the Red Sox acquiring Ketel Marte. So I want to present the facts in front of you so that the jury has the full idea that last year in his age 31 season in 126 games hit .283 with an .893 OPS, 28 home runs and 72 runs batted in. Only played second base, a little bit of DH. Was an All Star. Finished 22nd in MVP, a year removed from a .292 season with a .932 OPS where he finished third in the NL MVP race. So Numerically speaking, he played 126 games last year, 136 the year before, 150, 137, and then it kind of drops off around COVID from there. He has had stretches in Arizona of elite play. He's a career 281 hitter, 283 with the Diamondbacks, and then his first 2 years, he was a 267 hitter as a member of the Seattle Mariners. Now, the reason the Red Sox will not make this trade, as I continue to poke around on why this does and does not make sense. He is currently on year two of a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 year deal with a player option in 2031. By the end of the deal, by the time he's an unrestricted free agent, he is 38 years old and makes $19.4 million against the luxury tax this year and every year past that. Unfortunately, I don't view the Red Sox as being able to commit to a luxury of that magnitude. Now, Marte as the number two hitter behind Roman Anthony and potentially leading into Pete Alonso is capital E elite. Because, say, for example, let's go with that theory for just a moment. Say Jaron Duran and Kyson Witherspoon, for the sake of argument, are sent out the door and Ketel Marte, at full value, comes through the door. And then you turn around and your other impact bat is Pete Alonso. And maybe even then, that's it. Maybe that's you've got your rotation set and you hope that Sonny Gray isn't a candidate for further regression. And that's your lineup with Alonso, Marte, Story. And I guess in that case, Marcelo Meyer is probably your third baseman, because I would imagine they wouldn't add Bregman to that mix with Anthony, Rafaela, and Abreu in the outfield. My whole argument this entire time has been you just need to slide guys back into spots in the lineup that allow them to be at their best. Willy Abreu is not a three hitter, but he's a damn good six hitter if you look at the way he's performed there in his career. Trevor Story, if he's your fifth hitter, then again, you're in a much, much, much better spot. So you kind of need to add two players that fit second through fourth in your lineup. Those are the most high leverage spots you have that you need to fill, but that's kind of what you need to do. So I'm intrigued at the prospect. I think the Red Sox have been too tight with the wallet in order to spend $20 million on a second baseman, unless there is a move that sends Trevor Story out the door and you're putting one of your young players at shortstop. Because I don't think they'd spend the money that they're going to spend on Story for the remaining 3 years and also pay Ketel Marte the nearly $20 million that he's due. So I do think the cost is prohibitive, but I love the player. The player's ability to get on base with a little bit of pop, with a 20 to 25 home run pop at second base, solving a position that you've had open consistently since 2017 probably. I love every single bit about that. I just don't think they'll do it. Before we move on to the New England Patriots, CK has been holding on. He's on the Cape. What's up, CK?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up?
Ball of Jackson and the D, dude. That should be a thing.
There you go. Hey, that's there's we'll run that past the corner office.
Awesome. Yeah, so I was talking that I looked up a little bit about Okamoto, because as Lou said, like, I'll admit I've never seen him play, but I did see he played in the World Baseball Classic.
Okay.
And did pretty decent. He had two home runs, seven ribbies. I think he went in the fourth, I think it said, on Freeland. It probably was a pivotal moment.
Yep.
I'd be interested in him just because he bats from the right side. I was also thinking about Machado or whatever from Baltimore. He becomes available, just given, like you said, the money's huge, but he is someone that could help out with the interior defense. Last thing I just want to say too is you guys are the best. This is a great show. Airborne is such a great comeback for music. I actually lived in Australia. I love Parkway Drive, another Australian band. It's great. So keep it up, man. This show's awesome.
Dang. Thank you, CK. And sick brag, by the way, living in Australia. That's pretty darn cool. So props to Jackson for the rejoin. And right-handed power, checks the box, absolutely. I saw a couple people on the text line also chiming in about the World Baseball Classic. So there is some sample size, again, against pitchers, the caliber of which you would face at Major League Baseball. That's too small of a sample size for me. I completely understand where you're coming from. I need guys that have seasons on seasons where you've grown up, you've become a professional in Major League Baseball, as the times have changed, as guys have been throwing harder, as there are more pitching changes, so you're accustomed to what it takes to be successful over 162 games at the Major League Baseball level. I think if you're going to invest, because you're only going to get one or two bullets in that regard, you're only going to get one or two chances to invest that money, I would rather do it on something that I know what the ceiling and I know what the floor is going to be. But we will leave that there. Thank you for joining the Red Sox hot stove part of the conversation. We transition to the football field because the Patriots have won 10 games and we just carved our Thanksgiving turkey. I still can't believe that's a fact, but Tommy Curran believes there could be a little bit of a skid that's coming for the New England Patriots. They take on the Giants. They have a bye. They have the Ravens and the Bills still on the calendar. So, are three losses in a row realistic? And what keeps them from sliding in that direction? We'll switch over to the Patriots and discuss that, plus your calls next.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.